always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Monday afternoon. We switched it up because I know I had promised you guys that I would kick off the player review series today. But the person that I was going to do that with actually said that tomorrow makes more sense for him. So that'll be tomorrow's episode instead. And shouts to Harrison for being flexible here. Harrison is on for today's show. Harrison, how are you holding up?
I'm good. I really hope that you going live before the soundtrack played, it like actually makes it into the episode.
I don't think it will. For those of you who don't know this or maybe didn't see it or hear it or whatever, but I said like go live and then for some reason there was a bit of a lag on like the intro song playing. And normally when you hit live, I would go and I would you hit live and then it goes right to the intro song. And because we're all muted, I can, you know, I'll sometimes cough or I'll clear my throat, or in today's case, cause I'm a little under the weather. I just had like an Al Pacino from fucking Scarface sniff that may or may not have caught the airwaves.
I really hope it's in the YouTube. Like I think the people need that to start their day. It's that's setting the tone for this show. It's just Anthony loudly inhaling through one nostril, just like trying to suck the snot back up.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, dude. I don't know how I got sick again. I was just anyway. Today on the show, we're gonna be talking about, and this is kind of one of those weird, you know, news peg kind of days or whatever, but the Rams, like an hour or so before Harrison and I went live, the Rams traded for Myles Garrett from the Cleveland Browns. And obviously this is taking place at a time when the Dodgers are as dominant as they are. And so like, you know, I would never worry about the Clippers all that much, but I find myself, look, I love that this guy's name is Relax as he's freaking out about what we're talking about.
I mean, he may just be curious why we're talking about it. He needs an NBA. Well,
let me get to it.
Talking about the Rams.
Let me relax, gang. And I will tell you why we are talking about the Rams today. We are talking about the Rams today because obviously the Lakers are heading into an absolutely critical offseason. They are doing so, you know, at this weird inflection point where it's Robin Jeannie running the Lakers, but basically every Laker fan wants it to be Mark Walter and his people running the Lakers. And
it seems like he's installing his people everywhere but basketball.
Everywhere but the place where we care about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single other place.
He said, you get to keep Rob. Okay. I get to fire everyone else. Every single other person in the organization.
I wonder if he has
Jeannie said fair like trade handling. As long as I get Rob and the Ram pie.
Like, could you imagine like how Machiavellian it would be? I haven't like looked into this. I almost definitely don't think this is what's happening or whatever. But like in an effort to push Jeannie out and get her to quit early, do you think he has her like handling every single layoff personally? Like trying, you have to tell everybody and you have to just have the worst day of your professional career every day until you're out of here.
I, having not talked to any of the employees who were laid off, I am very confident that Jeannie was not doing their HR exit interview.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Could you imagine the just brutal things that she would say? Like, she's not very good being put on the spot. I don't think those meetings would go very well.
I don't think that's her skill set.
Yeah. So today, the reason that I wanted to talk about this, Harrison, this has been a topic basically for the entirety of our careers, right? In this industry, covering the Lakers, covering LA sports, and it used to be a question that was always asked about the Clippers. Like, could LA become a Clippers town? Is it becoming a Clippers town? How, like, and it was all these, like, it tended to be like Ramona Shelburne breathlessly hoping that it would become a Clippers town. But in this case, it's like, I do find myself wondering, and we've seen this across all of entertainment media. Like, we've actually seen, I think Marvel is a good example of this, where, like the, what was the, not the Fantastic Four, but the movie before that, Thunderbolts, right? I really, really liked Thunderbolts. It came out to like real acclaim critically, as a movie. And yet in terms of its box office was not the success that Marvel was hoping it would be. And part of the reason for that is because there are just so many things pulling us in any which way, right? Whether it's other movie things that are going on, whether it be TV, whether it be entertainment, whether it just be the phone, right? Doom scrolling in front of you, just kind of taking up so much of our time. And I kind of, I think that the Lakers in LA are actually really analogous to Marvel in terms of its omnipresence in culture. And yet, as we found out with Marvel, it isn't like the kind of behemoth that just keeps on churning out movie after movie after movie. They had to rethink some stuff. And I with this Rams, with the Rams trading for Myles Garrett, with the Dodgers being, you know, fighting for a three-peat, and with the Lakers being kind of shoved into a locker by way of Rob Pelinka telling LeBron, you're not going to win another championship here in LA. I'm kidding. But like,
are you?
But like, I do find myself wondering, like, are we in a spot here where the Lakers have to worry even a little bit about the grasp that they have historically had on Los Angeles as a sports town? So that's basically going to be the crux of today's episode. I also saw something happen over the weekend with Jovan, quote unquote, reporting something, and really in reality, what it was just disastrously bad aggregation. So I kind of want to, you and I, Harrison, will have that conversation that we have at the beginning of every off season, just kind of hopefully getting people through how to handle.
We should just make up headlines that Jovan specifically is going to report on his YouTube live. I'm sure he'd love it.
What's that?
We should just make up headlines that Jovan specifically is going to report.
Yeah. Well, I felt bad for Jovan, because like, it was so clearly not something he would report. We'll get to it later in the show.
Yeah.
A reminder, please hit that like button here on the channel. Please hit that subscribe button here on the channel. Please turn on notifications both for the channel and for YouTube, so you get the notifications for the channel. And if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere counts the same to me. So yeah, Harrison, I'm just gonna, you know, I did the preamble at the top of the show here as far as why this was on my mind. This wasn't just a ploy to get Myles Garrett in the SEO title. This is something that I have found myself really kind of thinking about. Doris Burke spent half of every playoff game wondering where the LA crowd was, you know, I don't know. Like, is this something that like Mark Walter has to be aware of as he embarks on his stewardship of the franchise?
I do think so. But I also think that, you know, number one, I think, sure, there's like some pressure from the Rams in terms of like their popularity, whatever. I just have a hard time seeing them anytime soon overtaking the omnipresence and like sort of like historical culture. Like, Lakers fandom is something that's been passed down through generations at this point. Like, it's like a religion in the city, you know. It's a, like, people aren't just gonna be like, oh well, the Rams traded for Myles Garrett, so like I think I'm gonna, you know, I think I'm just like more into the Rams now, you know. Like, maybe you will be this year, but if the Lakers ever get, you know, truly good again, they're gonna have you right back. Like, you're gonna, the Laker fans are, the Laker flags are gonna come back out on your car, you know. But I think you know, like, I think the Dodgers are really the only thing that's more omnipresent in LA. Like, having lived here for a while now, it feels like the only thing that I see more than Lakers merch as far as sports is Dodgers merch. And I live like down, I live down the street from where the Rams and Chargers and Clippers all play. I almost never see their merch outside of game days. It's like always Dodgers or Lakers. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't think that the Lakers have that much pressure on them, but I do think the Marvel analogy is a good one, where it's like, and honestly, Star Wars too is currently going through this a little bit, where people have like the fatigue from your franchise, asking them to do too much homework, asking them to invest too much in like in a declining product. You know, where it's like the the Mandalorian and Grogu movie is like a good example of this, where like, you know, the movie comes out.
I haven't
like
based even on seen like it yet.
It's based
the
on
the notion
TV
that
show.
A Star Wars movie would be out and I would not have any interest in seeing it to this point is really shocking. I love
and
Star
it's been
Wars.
Out 2 weeks. I actually and I went and saw the movie. It was good. It was fun. But it's like, if you're telling people, OK, now, you know, to be able to follow Star Wars, now you have to pay year round for the streaming service and you have to watch every episode of even unrelated shows, because those shows are going to affect the shows that you're actually like watching and really into. And then also, now that's not enough money for us. And so we want you to give us, you know, like $100 to take your like partner and kids to go see this movie in theaters. And then you need to buy them a snack and like all this stuff. And like at some point it's like, okay, I'm not paying for this anymore, you know, like I'm not like, there are going to be a lot of people that say like, no, you're not getting that last $50 from me. And I do think that that is something that the Lakers are potentially running up against, where it's like, people will continue to be fans, they'll continue to rock the gear they have, whatever, but it's like, you know, are people going to, you know, you look at the crowd thing, for example, like, you know, is that crowd atmosphere going to turn around? Like, I think it could. I don't think that the book is closed on that, but if you keep asking them to show up for gap year after gap year after gap year, and oh, next year we're going to have cap space, and next year we're going to make this move, and next year we're going to do this, like the only way to keep that fan base enthusiasm is to do it like the Dodgers are doing it, where it's like every single year you're going to feel like we have a shot, and you know, you're going to come and you're going to stay invested, and we're not going to be asking you, you know, barring catastrophic injuries or something, you know, like obviously if the whole top half of the Dodgers rotation and like best players all got hurt, they probably wouldn't be very competitive. But that's like really the only scenario you're looking at it as a
but
Dodgers
that happens
fan,
I mean, where they're not going to compete. Cap system, but yeah.
And but so I think the Lakers, like, you're going to have to like try and build a consistently competitive, consistent winner again that has people invested in it, and that people don't feel like they can see the flaws from 100 yards away. And so how can you not?
Yeah. There's a like side panel happening in our chat right now that has been crazy to pay attention to. We aren't even talking about Austin and LeBron.
I was locked in on Star Wars. I wasn't even paying attention. So
it's been crazy. Like a literal comment right now is white players are slow and can't jump. Can't disagree.
I can understand how if I was on screen, someone like might just like feel like the notion, like they have to say that it's like involuntary, you know?
Yeah. There's a bruh. It's just white fans that want to get their white hype paid. They don't care if paying them means we won't win the next decade. I don't get a commission off of the paychecks.
I am personally not that invested in how much Austin makes in his next contract. Like, obviously, good for him. Success story, whatever. I really don't care.
Do not care
the amount.
Not even a little bit. Yeah. But anyway,
I would like him to stay a Laker. I do enjoy Austin Reeves. But yeah, I don't. I'm not like going to sit here and agitate. Like, you got to give him the max.
Yeah. So anyway. I'm not gonna continue to address the Austin stuff, because we have at some point we'll even record an Austin podcast. And at that time, G Dog, if you wanna come in here and talk about Austin, have at it. But today we're talking about this. But yeah, the thing that like really kind of stands out to me in comparing where the Lakers are now versus where they were when like Jerry Buss owned the team and was still alive and was still healthy and stuff like that. They were a really big part of the sports conversation that like, I was too young for like for the notion of like water cooler talk or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. That they're gonna have to find a new term for that. There aren't water coolers anymore. No one right, like. Yeah. I mean, there's not no one goes into the office, but fewer and fewer people than ever are going into an office. You know, traditional office setup.
Right, but like I remember, my dad would say, like, you know, he would come home and mom would ask him about his day, and he'd say it was kind of slow, so it was like a big Laker day. Like he would just sit around with his fellow engineers or whatever, and there would be the occasional day where they would just like sit there and talk about like the Lakers,
how to fix the Lakers.
Yeah, and but like I feel like the days of the Lakers dominating discourse outside of, you know, your standard sports conversation areas or platforms, you know, it's really subsided. And I actually really compare it to, like, obviously I moved out here to Texas and the Cowboys are like the dominant, you know, topic out here. And
I thought you were going to say, since you moved out there to Texas, nobody talks to you, comes up to you on the street and talks to you about the Lakers anymore. I'm like, well, Anthony, we have a sample size selection problem.
But like,
I just don't see that many people in Lakers merch since I moved to Austin, Texas.
It's weird, right?
You think like, their guy, Austin Reeves, is about to get the max because I argued for it. Like, they would want to celebrate that.
There's a lot of people just like oddly fascinated by Austin Reeves out here in Austin, Texas. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, like in out here in Texas, so the Cowboys are like, you know, they're all, I think it is pretty damn close to an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah.
Between the Lakers and the Cowboys in terms of like it's those teams grasp on the city and the region. And it's so funny because, like, you know, the Cowboys, they haven't, I forget what the stat is, but they haven't like won a playoff game since like the 90s or something crazy. Or they've only
that
won a couple of playoff.
Be true.
I think if they've won any, they've maybe won like a couple tops since like the 90s.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like they have to have won like a first round game in there somewhere.
Maybe. I don't know. But like, when I listen to like my neighbors talk about, and this like hard in my family, like my cousin-in-law is like, I guess my cousin and her whole family, they are all like rabid hardcore Cowboys fans. And the Cowboys are just like, they're this thing. And I think it specifically has to do with nepotism and bad ownership that like, no matter what they do, like they traded for Micah Parsons last year and it's like, okay, cool. We traded for Micah Parsons. How are you guys going to screw this up? You know, when is the next thing that you guys are going to do that's going to screw this whole thing up? And, you know, it always comes for one thing, but it just kind of eats away at belief in this franchise. And I listened to, you know, the chat and my mentions and just like the lack of belief in Rob Pelinka is this parasitic effect on the fan base. I'm not saying that Rob is a parasite himself. I'm saying that like it has this just kind of wearying impact on a fan base where, all right, we got Luka. How are you guys going to screw this up? And
it is true. Eventually, he's maybe the only GM in the league that could have traded for Luka, and fans were like still on his head that summer for like not constructing an actual rod. Like he got Luka. I mean, I you know, it 80 like not for free, but you know, for free by superstar terms. And people were still mad about like his roster construction. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and yet, like, I kind of understand it, right? Like, I understand where they're
coming
from. You
were one of the people.
I am. And so, like, it's funny because, like, you know, listening to Cowboys fans talk out here and then listening to the chat and seeing those similarities there. And the thing about Texas sports is that for the most part, there isn't really a Texas team that is anywhere near like the level of success that would need to take place that would kind of push the Cowboys off into the distance that I can think of, right? Like the Dallas Stars have had a couple of runs here and there, but not really. The Rangers have been interesting. Like, I guess the Rangers won a World Series, right, with Bruce Bochy when he got there. So I guess that was...
Yeah.
But they've kind of dissipated. They aren't like the, they aren't the presence that the Dodgers have become. That's for sure. And then like, you know, also with the Rams specifically and part of the reason that I wanted to talk about this today, Harrison, is football is such a monolithic sport. It is such a giant sport that if the football team gets good, in a sports city, if the football team gets good and like the basketball team is the traditional like power there or whatever, there is just so many sports fans. I guess LA is kind of different because the Rams left and then came back. And
yeah, the Rams and Chargers both weren't there for a long time. And then they both showed up at the same time. And I think that honestly has helped the Lakers maintain their foothold as much as anything is
probably,
that, like, you split the fan base a little bit. It definitely seems like it's way more Rams from what I can sort of tell, in LA, but, it's still like, it still split the city a little bit at least. And it's also like, again, like the Rams were gone for a long time. If they would have been there acting like this for, you know, like the entire time they were in St. Louis, instead they had just stayed in LA, then like I think that you might have more of a threat to the Lakers. But for now, it's still such like a new thing that the Lakers thing is still so much more ingrained.
Yeah, and to be absolutely clear, I think Lakers fans are always going to show out for their team. You know, like the success of this show, LFR, Jovan's show, Lakers Nation, Silver Screen, like, you go down the line of the number of things that Lakers fans support and the platforms that Lakers fans support, it really does speak to there are just so many Lakers fans.
A lot of Lakers fans.
Yeah, there's just so many Lakers fans that I think they are almost too big to fail. But I will say that like one thing that kind of caught my attention, even as the Lakers, and I think part of it was that Luka was hurt, so there wasn't real any significant belief in the Lakers' chances in this year's playoffs. But with the as we got into the playoffs, normally you see like a bump in traffic and all these things, and I just didn't quite sense that as much in my stuff or in other people's stuff as well. And it does make me kind of, you know, return back to the Cowboys as a comparison where, you know, as somebody said up top, Brian Walters, Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995. Like, we're talking about a Lakers team that, yeah, they won a championship in 2019, 2020, but obviously the circumstances on that were tricky.
I mean, you and I were talking about before the show that like part of the reason that one doesn't get as much credit is just because nobody wants to remember anything that happened in 2020. Like we all have like forcibly given ourselves collective amnesia so that we just don't have to think about it. And like the title sort of gets lost in that a little bit.
Right. Which means we haven't been able to like we haven't enjoyed a parade, right? A Lakers parade for winning a championship. Like did you see the Arsenal parade that happened over the weekend
there in Europe? Didn't.
Insane. I mean, they haven't won that championship specifically in 22 years, I guess is what my buddy was saying. But like for Lakers fans, we haven't been able to celebrate a Lakers championship parade since 2010, right? 16 years.